service. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together this morning in his name. We especially welcome our preacher, Reverend Joshua Moffat, from our Bangor congregation. Also our soloist, our brother David Warwick. We welcome him this morning along to minister in song. And you'll hear from him a little later in our service. We do appreciate you continuing to comply with the restrictions we put in place in entering, exiting, and while in the building. This is all for our safety as we meet in the Lord's house. There are baskets at the exits for your offerings. Today is our special gift day for the building fund at both services. We trust, as you always do, you'll give generously to the Lord's work in this regard. Do please remember those offerings today. Our Harvest Evening service at 7 o'clock, Reverend Ryan McKee from Macrofelt will be the preacher, and Reverend and Mrs. McKee will be ministering in song. Do come again and join with us tonight for our Harvest Evening service, please. And then could I mention during the week, first of all, the time of prayer before the evening service in the youth room as well, 6:20 to 6:45, youth room on the first floor. Do join us for that, please. And then could I also mention, on Tuesday night, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall, and I will be the speaker at that. We encourage you to attend. Thursday night, for those involved in the Graveyard Committee meeting is at 8 o'clock. And then next Lord's Day, the services in the will of God at the usual times, and I will be here at Sunday School at 10 a.m. Do join us for these services. Could I mention just various sicknesses, ongoing treatment for our sister Mary, which was cancelled last week. Do remember Mary in your prayers. This will go ahead this week. And then also Erin McBurney. She's due to go in for surgery on the 21st of October. She's now got a date. So do remember our sister, that the Lord's hand will be upon her. Remember Dr. Barnes, as he continues to be in hospital. Pray for his recovery. Remember Mrs. Barnes this time as well. And others coming up to and going through consultations and treatments. Pray for them. Remember Reverend Linton's daughter has been asked for prayer. And do pray for her at this time. Rachel, the Lord's hand will be upon her. Remember our sister Eileen McDowell's sister Phyllis, had a bad fall. Do remember her and continue to pray that the Lord's touch will be upon her in these days and in the days to come. And then if you can help with the parent and toddlers, children's meeting, Awana, any of these works, youth work, please contact the leaders. We're always looking for volunteers and appreciate those who have responded. October the 18th is the day when we hope to start again the mums and toddlers, 10:30 to 11:30. It's just an hour. Normally it was a longer period, but we're just going for an hour this time. And if parents and grandparents of those planning to bring children can contact Louise. That has been put up on our Facebook page and also put up on the WhatsApp. So if you're interested in coming along or bringing little ones along, please make contact with Louise beforehand. That would be appreciated. And then November the 1st is the Awana date, and we're hoping to get back with Awana on that night. Again, it's tentative, and we trust that that will take place as we look forward to that date. And then also, could I mention the Youth Council rally here on the 22nd? That's a local rally for youth fellowships, and that will take place on the 22nd of October. We commend that to you, and we trust that young people will be able to gather. And after that, we hope as soon as possible to start the youth fellowship again, so young people remember these matters. I think those are all the announcements that I have to make. If I think of anything else, no doubt I'll make it during the service. We're going to commence with the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We remain seated as we sing, of course, and then if you are able to stand, we stand for prayer. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. And as we look around us, we are reminded of God's faithfulness and God's goodness, God's bounty and God's provision. And therefore, we give thanks to the Lord as we sing together, keeping our seats. if you can. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, O God, for the privilege that we have of coming before thy throne of grace this morning. We thank thee, O God, for thy faithfulness. We are reminded of it on this harvest morning. We are reminded, Lord, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter shall not cease. We are reminded, O God, of thy bounty and of the provision thou hast made for our temporal needs. And so we give thee thanks this morning. We pray that thou wilt meet with us as we meet together in thy house. As we give thanks unto the Lord, that thy presence will be real and felt amongst us. For thy servant who has come to minister in song, that thou wilt fill him with the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt use his ministry today as a means of blessing, encouragement, and challenge to all who listen. We pray for thy servant as he handles thy word, that thou wilt fill him with the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt use him today, that he might be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message, that he might be equipped and enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to set forth the truths of thy word to boys and girls and to men and women. And we pray that a work will be done here today for thy glory. Visit us, Lord, with revival, stricken with coldness and death. Where is our hope of survival, save in thy life-giving breath? Lord, send us revival. Let it begin now in me, gladly dethroning each rival. Yield I my heart unto thee. Pray for the blessing of God upon this people and upon our land in all its need. We pray that thou wilt visit us again with a mighty Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, sky-blue, devil-defeating awakening. We pray that it may come even to our hearts this morning to meet together in this place. We pray, Father, that you'll remember all our sister congregations. Meet their needs today. Remember our brother's church in Bangor. We thank thee, Lord, for that little witness there, what thou hast been doing. Continue to bless and encourage thy people there. And thy servant who will preach this morning, fill him with the Holy Spirit and use him for thy glory. We pray, Lord, that you'll remember the missionaries too across the world and all the needs that there are. Meet every need. Remember those in our midst too and in our congregation of illness. We think of our brother Dr. Barnes in hospital. Touch him. We pray for healing. We pray for restoration to health and strength. Remember his dear wife at this time too and the family. Give grace and help and comfort. We thank thee, Lord, that thou dost not leave us comfortless. We pray, Father, for Mary as she goes through her treatment, that it will happen again this week. And we pray that thou wilt help her to negotiate through all of this. We pray that thou wilt remember also at this time, O God, the need that there is, O Lord, with Irene. And we pray that this operation will take place as scheduled. And we pray, Father, for a successful outcome. We pray thy healing touch. Remember others facing treatments too, going through treatments. We think, Lord, of Rachel Thompson too at this time, Reverend Lyndon's daughter. We pray for thy healing touch, thine intervention in her case. We thank thee too for others whom thou hast touched, Reverend Goods and Reverend Smith. And we pray for these brethren that they will recover fully. Remember Reverend Wilson and remember Reverend Fitzsimons too. As they continue to recover, that thy hand will be upon them. And for many others throughout our congregations who have serious illnesses and problems, even mental health issues, we pray that thou wilt give grace and help through all of these things in these times, and draw near with thy presence now, and do us good. Sanctify us through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're delighted to have our brother David Warwick with us. Brother David is going to minister a couple of pieces in song, and then Reverend Moffat will come and speak to the boys and girls immediately after.
Soon coming King, Jehovah. I'd like to thank our brother for those messages in song. It's good to see you. I feel very welcome here in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. It's been a day or two since I was here. It gives me great joy to be here and to preach the gospel today, but it gives me even greater joy, don't take offence, to be speaking to the boys and girls. I was called to the Lord's work through children's work, and so it's lovely to be here and to be speaking to you, boys and girls, today. And I have a little story to tell you about a preacher. This man's name was Spurgeon. Hands up, boys and girls, if you've ever heard of Spurgeon. Hands up if you've ever heard of him. Maybe you haven't heard of him. No? Well, Spurgeon was a preacher, and he was a preacher in a place called London. I'm sure you've heard of London. And that was where Spurgeon was the preacher. And Spurgeon was walking down the street one day, boys and girls, and he saw a few boys walking past him on the street. And I don't know, maybe one of them had a football. Who likes football? The hands went up that time. You didn't know who Spurgeon was. I'm sure you know who Salah is and all these other footballers. But, well, he had the football going up the street, or maybe one of them had the rugby ball or different toys, and they were going up the street. I know Christmas is coming, and you'll be wanting the toys on Christmas morning around the tree. Well, Spurgeon's walking down the street, and one of the things he sees is a boy walking up the street, and he has a bird cage. And inside, there's a little bird. I hope our brother doesn't need a drink. That's the spare glass that I'm using. I did sanitize my hands. But there's a little birdie inside of the birdcage. It's flying all about, and the wee boy has it. And Spurgeon thought, I wonder what he's doing with this little birdcage. And he said to the boy, what's that you've got? He says, it's a little robin. I found him just the other day, and I've trapped him. And he says, well, what are you going to do with the birdie? He says, I'm going to feed it. He says, and what'll you do after you've fed it? He says, well, I'll let it fly about a wee bit, and I'll play with it. And Spurgeon says, what are you going to do after you've fed it and after you've let it play? And the wee boy says, well, and this was a bad wee boy, you shouldn't be like us, boys and girls. But he says, well, I'll kill that wee birdie. Imagine saying that. Imagine saying something so cruel. You know, Spurgeon, he thought, well, I can't let this happen. I can't let that little birdie come to harm. And so he reached into his pocket and he says, how much would you take for the little bird? You know, the boy laughed. And he said, a pound. Now, a pound then is different from a pound now. That was like giving lots of pounds. That was like 20 pounds or 30 pounds, 40 pounds. It's a lot of money. But you know, Spurgeon went into his pocket and he wasn't going to spare any expense. And he pulled out his wallet and he got the right amount of money and he gave the boy the money. And he says, I want that bird. And you know, Spurgeon, he took that little bird. And he went over to the park bench and he sat down there in the middle of London. And you know what he did, boys and girls? Let me show you. He took the cage away. And the birdie flew away. It was free. And it flew through the air. And the next Sunday, Spurgeon stood up in front of the church. And he brought the empty bird cage. And he set it on the pulpit. And you know, he brought out a wonderful lesson, boys and girls, that we all need to realise this morning. You see, like that little bird, each and every one of us are trapped. Trapped not by a cage, but trapped by our sins. Because the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter how hard that little birdie flapped or how much he flew about that cage, mums and dads, boys and girls, he could not get out. And there's nothing that we can do to stop ourselves being a sinner before God. No work of righteousness. Our brothers just sang, my worth is not in what I've done. We can't work our way out of sin. But you know, the Bible tells us that sin brings forth death. And that's what the little boy said he was going to do to that bird. He was going to kill it. And that's what sin does. It kills us and it brings us to a terrible place that the Bible calls hell. But you know, just like Spurgeon, there's somebody that paid the price for you. There's somebody that paid a price for you to set you free from sin and to give you liberty and freedom and to let you out of the cage of sin. It wasn't a preacher. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like Spurgeon was going to spare no expense and he got all of the money out, and even though it was a lot of money for just a little bird, he was willing to pay it. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in coming to this earth, he spared no expense in saving you from sin. He gave his body. He gave his blood, he gave his life, he gave his soul upon Golgotha's tree. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, he died, he suffered, and he bled to save boys and girls and mums and dads from their sin. And today, if you can take away from church, if you remember the little glass of water when you get to your dinner this afternoon, you see the glass of water, you turn it upside down, and you think about that little bird, and it was trapped, there was nothing it could do, it was going to die, but someone paid the price to set it free. And you think about yourself, we're all sinners before God, and yet, praise God, we preach today that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he paid the price for our sin and for our freedom with his own blood on Calvary's middle tree. Boys and girls, maybe you've been in this church for years and you've never been saved. You've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. You come today and you pray, Lord, save me. Take away my sin. Wash me in the blood of Christ. And you can leave today and it'll be the happiest Sunday morning of your life, because you'll go home and say, I'm saved by God's grace, and one day I'm going to heaven and I'm free from my sin. Hallelujah. Boys and girls, mums and dads, I trust that today you will come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who spared no expense in shedding his blood to set you free. Amen. And we'll hand back to our brother, Mr. Smiley. Thank you, brother.
Thank Brother Joshua for that word for the boys and girls. I'm sure you've all enjoyed it this morning. I was amazed, you know, he mentioned Salah there. And an Everton supporter mentioning Salah. Boy's a dear. That's something. An Everton supporter. I have to tell your dad about that one. Because I remember being in Liverpool one time and he said there's two teams in Liverpool, Everton and Everton Reserves. And I was the preacher that night, so I think he was getting at me. But there you are. It's good to have our brother Joshua with us today. And we trust we'll be hearing from him a little later on in our service this morning. Just to mention also, on behalf of Maureen and Calvin and the family, appreciate your prayers. Calvin asked me to pass on to the congregation, appreciate your prayers for Carl at this time and your continued prayers. And I trust that you'll remember that. And the family do really appreciate your prayers for him. And also for Norman Boyle, the family really appreciate your prayers for Norman. And the Lord's hand has been on him too, and not only in salvation, but in healing touch. So continue to remember Norman in your prayers. We're going to have a hymn, and then Brother David is going to sing again. Then Reverend Moffat will come with God's word. And I'm going to sit beside my wife. I don't want to give her a real shock, but I'm going to go and sit beside my wife this morning for a change. And we're going to sing this hymn. Just remain seated. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. And so we'll keep our seats as we sing, and then Brother David and Reverend Moffat.
Yeah.
Message and song, no other way but Calvary. And that's what we want to preach upon today. That is our theme of the gospel, that Christ Jesus is the only way, truth and life, the only way to God. There's a lovely big Bible here. They say the bigger the Bible, the bigger the hypocrite. So I brought a smaller Bible, and you can take from that what you will. But it's lovely to be here in Ballygowan this morning. Lovely to be here to preach the gospel. George Whitefield said, other men may preach the gospel better than I. And I'm sure Mr. Smiley does that. But no man can preach a better gospel. And praise God for that, that we have the most wonderful news today. The most wonderful news to share at a time of harvest. That the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save. I have to confess, I was thinking about you just a few moments ago when we were singing, when the first hymn went out, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I thought, Ballygowan people are very intense. They're just staring at me. They're just looking right at me. They're not looking at a hymn book. They're not looking at anything else. And then I turned around and saw the big thing behind me. So I thought you were all just, who's this boy? But it is lovely to be here. And lovely to be here in the capacity I'm in to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We're turning to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 for our reading. It's the first 11 verses. Do you stand here for the reading of God's words? No, that's okay. Proverbs chapter 6 verses 1 down to verse 11. If you're unfamiliar with the layout of scripture, Proverbs is found towards the middle of your Bible. If you find Psalms, you're nearly there. You find Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 down to verse 11. And let's hear what God's word would have to say to us. Solomon here writes, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways, and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come, as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen. Ending the reading at verse 11. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own divinely inspired word this morning. Let's bow for a moment's prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the way, the truth and the life. We thank thee that there is a way to God, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee that he was redemption's only plan, the plan and the covenant of grace to save sinful man from sin. And even as we thought about C.H. Spurgeon and that little sparrow, Lord, we thank thee for the Son of God who came to this world, who lived a perfect life for us, and who died that sinless death on our behalf. Lord, we thank thee today. We serve a risen Saviour. We thank thee that our Christ is not in the tomb. He's not still upon the cross, but he now reigns in glory above in the power of an endless life. We thank thee that even now he ever liveth to make intercession. And Lord, we rejoice to know, it's our hallelujah chorus to know, that Christ still saves today. Lord, we thank thee that the blood of Jesus shall never lose its power. And we thank thee that Christ, so long as the world is still in the soul-saving business. And Lord, we pray that today, at a time of harvest, as we have drawn near to give thee thanks and blessing for all of the temporal, material and financial good things which thou hast brought our way, Lord, we do want to return thee all of the thanks for the spiritual benefits that Christ hath wrought for us. Lord, we pray that today would be a harvest indeed, when one would even go out and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Lord, help us now as we come to the gospel. Give this preacher help, I ask. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Lord, enable me to preach the gospel. Give me clarity. Give me passion. Give me zeal, I pray. And Lord, we do ask of thee that everything done here tonight would be done to the honour and glory of Christ. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, the verse number 6, talks about the ant. And I've entitled this message, Solomon's Six-Legged Sermon. Because that's what it is. It's a sermon on six legs. It's a sermon I want to bring to you this morning. You know, living with two children in the house, I've become fairly au fait with nursery rhymes. There were many happy years. I didn't appreciate them enough when I was in them, where I never heard of Jack and Jill or Little Miss Muffet and never heard all of these nursery rhymes. They were gone, something for school days, and yet the two children came along and the nursery rhymes are back in the house. And they're always there in your mind. You're always thinking about the nursery rhymes. I was teased right through school, Little Miss Muffet, and I was Josh Muffet. And so I got that right through school. So I was glad to do away with the nursery rhymes, believe me. And then there's the songs, not just the nursery rhymes, but the songs as well. I couldn't tell you the amount of times I've been going about a day's work and I'm humming to myself and I'm thinking, what's that tune? And it's Two Men and Their Dog Went to Mow a Meadow or something like that. And you catch yourself on, if you're a parent here today and you know what Cocoa Melon is, you'll know the being and burden of that. And these little songs, they're so catchy and the children love them and it gets in your mind. And I was just, there's also the stories, the moral tales, the fables, the boy who cried wolf, the tortoise and the hare, all of these stories that you learn as a child. And they're all becoming fresh to me again with the two little ones running around her ankles. But you know, I was stricken the other day as our daughter was listening to the tale of the ant and the grasshopper. You might know that tale well, the ant and the grasshopper. It's one of Aesop's fables. And in that little fable, we find the grasshopper. And there he is. He's dancing. He's singing. He's having a merry old time to himself. And the ant's going about his business. He's industrious. He's hardworking. And then the winter comes. And the grasshopper's played the day away. And the ant has storehouses prepared. And the grasshopper realizes his mistake too late. And there's lessons to bring to children about being hardworking and being ready. But you know, Aesop, for all of his merits that he has, must have plagiarized that little story. Because the ant and the grasshopper is not unique to Aesop. What we find when we come to the Word of God is that this was a sermon that Solomon preached to his son. Now, Aesop changed one of the animals. Aesop changed it to the grasshopper. But here in Proverbs chapter 6, we read about the ant and the slug. If you read verse number 6, you'll find that. Go to the ant, thy sluggard. And Solomon here, the whole book of Proverbs is addressed to his son. And he's wanting to make his son wise. Not only wise in the things of this world and wise in his intellect, but also wise in Christ and wise unto salvation. And so Solomon's bringing out a little sermon here to his son. He wants him to consider something, to go to something. And what does he choose? He chooses the ant and he brings a harvest message from the ant, and I think it's befitting to us to pause at this harvest time and to consider the ant. Now the Lord often uses nature to bring out lessons. To Job he spoke of the Leviathan and the behemoth. He spoke about the devil being like that lion seeking whom he may devour. He talked about being like an eagle and mounting up with wings as eagles. But here, Solomon, as he purveys all of the animals in the animal kingdom, he selects the smallest, the most tiny and seemingly insignificant of God's creatures, the humble little ant. The ant is no lion. The ant is no Leviathan. And yet, what a sermon the humble little ant can preach. And I trust that this morning, as you look at the actions that the ant takes at a time of harvest, that you will call out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Solomon's prayer would be answered, that you would go to her ways and be wise, not just in the things of earth, but wise under the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think about three things with regards to Solomon's six-legged sermon. I want you firstly to see the prudence of the ant. The prudence of the ant. That word prudent, it means to be wise. It means to be cautious, to be careful. And Solomon, he was the right person to comment on wisdom. He was the wisest king that Israel ever had. You'll recall, I think it's 2 Kings 4, where the Lord comes to him and says, "What would you have me to give to you?" And Solomon asks for an understanding heart. He prays for great wisdom to be given him. And the Lord gave it to Solomon. He made him the wisest king of Israel. And now Solomon writes concerning the ant, and what does he say of her? He says, "Consider her ways," verse 6, "and be wise." Solomon looks at this tiny little creature, a creature perhaps others would just walk by, and he says there's wisdom in that beast. There's wisdom in that ant. And the ant is a creature of undeniable sagacity. It's a creature of undeniable wisdom and intelligence. And why is that? Well, simply, the ant is always looking forward. The ant always has its eye on the horizon. It's always looking at what's coming. Its eyes in the future. The ant's not living for the here and now. It's not looking for the idle pleasures of right now. It's preparing for what's to come. That's what the ant's business is all about. It's a most remarkable stamp of God upon this little creature. Because it doesn't have a smartphone. It doesn't have a calendar. It doesn't have a diary. And yet it's aware of the passing of time. And it knows what's coming. It knows that soon winter's going to be here. It knows that the icy winds are about to blow, that the snow's about to fall, the weather will be inclement, the food on the ground will be scarce, travel will be dangerous, conditions will be poor. And so the ant has its eye upon the winter, and it knows there is a winter coming for me. And friend, how crucial it is at this time of harvest that we make ourselves like that little ant. Because this world, our world, is all about the here and now. You've heard the quips and cliches of today. Live for the moment. Be happy. You're here for a short time. Just enjoy the day. Seize the day. You only live once. That's what the world says. Just enjoy your life. Do what feels good. And yet here God tells us through Solomon, look at the ant. The ant's looking forward. The ant's making sure it's ready for the coming winter. And my friend, I would bring you a lesson from the ant and the prudence of that ant to say, don't just think of your life. Don't just think of the idle pleasures of this world. We're at a time of harvest and we're thankful for what the Lord has brought along and we're thankful for his goodness toward us, both financially and materially. But friend, don't just spend this life trying to accrue up finances or to accrue up money or to accrue up worldly possessions. Think about what's coming. Think about eternity. Because the Bible tells us, it's found in the book of Hebrews, that it is appointed unto man once to die. That's a truth we all have to accept. It matters not if you're young or if you're old. We're all sinners. And the Bible tells us, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And our lives are very short. The Bible says our lives are just like a tale that is told. We read our children bedtime stories before we put them down. It's a very short little story. That's just like our lives. Just a little tale that's told, like a vapor which appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And the writer of the book of Hebrews, he says, it's appointed to die, but after this, because there is an after death, friend. It's not just about this life. He says, after this, the judgment. My friend, there is a judgment day. And there is a judgment day for sin. And it's on its way. It's coming. We shall all once pass from this scene of time. And in that day, we will stand before God. And we will give an account for how we've lived our lives. And what we did with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in that day, you will either go to meet your Savior. Because you've asked him to save you, and you've asked him into your heart, and in faith and in trust, you've believed in him, you've trusted in his merit, and you've taken Christ as your Savior. And in that day, it'll be a happy day for you. You'll be spared the judgment of God, you'll be brought in and ushered into eternity, and there you'll dwell in the land of bliss forevermore. What a day, said the hymn writer, glorious day that will be. But if you're here, friend, and you have never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, you've never asked the Lord into your heart, you've never had the matter of sin dealt with, then the Lord will say to you, depart. And you will go out into judgment. You'll go out into hellfire for all eternity. And just as that ant, as it goes about its business, is aware of what's coming for him very soon. My friend, are you aware that there is an eternity? Are you aware that there is a coming judgment day for sin? It's coming soon. It's as sure as the winter. Winter never forgets to come. God has ordered it. God makes sure that winter comes. There's nothing that the ant can do to stop winter coming. The ant might work doubly hard, it might work triply hard, but it can't prevent the winter. And my friend, it matters not what you do in this life. You can't prevent or escape the fact that one day you will stand before God to be judged. Dear friend lost in sin, I speak to you in love this morning. Dear friend lost in sin, living for the moment, not a thought for tomorrow. Have you considered the day when you'll stand before God? You have an appointment to keep with him. We make appointments today, doctors, dentists. We cancel them. We postpone them. We turn up late for them. My friend, you will not cancel your appointment with God. It is written down, and one day you will stand before him. And if you do nothing about the problem of sin, if you coast through this life, if you take no thought for your heart and your soul and the problem of sin, then when you go out into judgment, you will be found wanting. And you'll go out into a Christless hell. My friend, I say to you this morning in love and in grace, waken up. Waken up and realize the coming judgment. In that day, it will not matter how many times you attended Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. In that day, it will not matter if you were Protestant or Catholic. In that day, it will not matter if you're black or white or gay or straight. It will matter if you took Christ as your Savior and turned away from sin and exercised faith and repentance in the Son of God. It's not about how much money you put in the offering basket, friend. It's not about if you affiliate with a church or not. It's whether your sins are washed white in the precious blood of Christ. And I ask you today, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You know, Jeremiah chapter 8 and the verse number 7 speaks in very similar terms to Proverbs chapter 6. Fits in very well. Because there the Lord says, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle, the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people, says the Lord, know not the judgment of the Lord. What's the Lord saying here? He's saying, well, the crane, the turtle, the dove, they all know when to hibernate. They all know when to emigrate. They all know when the seasons are coming and what is just on the horizon for them. And yet God says, my people, humanity, you and me, with all of our rationale and reason, all of our wisdom and all of our intellect, all of our abilities and our learning, we don't realize and understand and come to terms with the fact that judgment is coming. My friend, that's what the ant thinks about at a time of harvest. Winter is coming for me. At this time of harvest, I want you to come aside from your usual practices and think about that great day that's coming for you. The awful day when you'll stand before God. Friend, if the Lord was to take you now and judge you today based on what you've done so far, where would you spend eternity? It's a solemn thought. I wonder what will be the verdict when God's gavel falls upon your life. Will you be declared righteous because you're washed in the blood of Christ? Or will you be declared guilty and be lost in a Christless hell? Friend, I want you to think this harvest time not about this life and the material things God has given, but think about the great eternity to which we will all go soon. Oh, my friend, be prudent. Be wise. Look toward eternity. Live with the light of eternity in view. But not only do I want you to see the prudence of the ant in looking forward to the future, I want you to see the preparation of the ant. the preparation of the ant, because the ant is aware, as we've said, of the contrary conditions. It knows winter's coming. It knows the same resources aren't going to be available. And so the ant says to itself, seeing as the winter's coming and foodstuffs will be in short supply, I must make preparation now. I must make ready in the harvest season. I must lay up treasures now, because that day's coming and I can do nothing about it. That's what the ant does. Look at verse number 8. There we read that the ant provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in harvest. In the summer, what the ant does, and this is the law of nature, the ant goes about and it eats very, very well, eats more than it ordinarily would. And then look at what it does in verse 8. It gathereth her food in the harvest. The harvest time. That's what we're in tonight, the harvest time. But the harvest time, as the emblems round the pulpit point out to us, harvest time is a time of plenty. It's a time of bounty. It's a time when the food is in surplus. And the ant makes sure that while there's an excess amount of food, that it takes a stockpile. That it lays up a little treasure to get it through to springtime. Because harvest, it's the ideal time. It's the right time to make preparation. And the ant knows, if I prepare myself in a time of harvest, I will be able to brave even the harshest winter. Friend, where are we this morning? We're at the harvest service. We are at that time of year where the ant makes its preparation. And what better time is there than right now at this harvest morning service to make preparation for that great judgment day? You know, it was the council. I say council, it was nay the instruction of the minor prophet Amos, prepare to meet thy God. And friend, we need to make preparation. Those of you who are here and you're still lost and bound by the weight of sin, you need to make preparation to meet with God. You need to get ready for your day in God's court. The season is right. It's a time of harvest. It's a time when you can, praise God, make preparation. Oh friend, now is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. You know, this life that we live, we think it's so long, we think we're never going to pass away. But this whole life, it's just like the harvest season. The harvest is so short, so short. Just a tiny little window between summer and winter. It's so short and it'll soon be past. And that's just like our life. We have such a small window in which to make preparation. Oh, my friend, don't leave it too late. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've said that harvest is a time of plenty. And truly, this harvest time is a time when the Lord has provided plenty for you. Not just in the good material things. He's provided richly for you through his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. You know, there is more grace to be found in the blood of Jesus Christ than you could ever want or wish for. There is more mercy in just one drop of the redeeming blood of the Savior than this old sinful world has ever known. There is more grace in Christ than you can ever realistically want or need. All sufficient grace, all cleansing grace, all forgiving grace, all atoning grace. My friend, we have a Savior this harvest time. A Savior who came into this world, left the resplendent glory of heaven, and he came into this old sinful world, so corrupt and so vile and so taken up with sin, and he lived that perfect life for you. And he died a perfect death for you. And he shed his sinless blood so that you can be saved. My friend, Christ has provided everything you would ever want or need this harvest time. And he provided it all through his atoning blood. He's provided you with a spotless righteousness. Because when you come to Christ and ask him into your heart, you're clothed with the righteousness, the sinless righteousness of Christ. He's provided you with atoning grace. He's provided you with the precious, sinless, cleansing blood. He's provided for you acceptance with God. You can have friendship with the Lord Jesus. He's provided for you forgiveness. He's provided for you an escape from the judgment. He's provided peace. He's provided liberty. He's provided freedom and redemption and joy unspeakable. It's all through the blood. My friend, at this harvest time, what a harvest you could reap unto your soul. A harvest you never sowed. A harvest Christ sowed for you when you take him as your own and personal Savior. My friend, Solomon gives the command in verse number 6 to go to the ant, to consider her ways. That's imperative language. He's not saying maybe just think about the ant. He's saying look at it. This is something you have to do. At this harvest time, I would give you that divine directive to look at the ant, to consider her ways. Don't go through this life without a thought for eternity. Don't spend this life trying to lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through for to steal, because there's a greater treasure. You can lay up for yourself a treasure in heaven tonight, a treasure which can see no corruption, a treasure which can never be taken from you, a treasure which you'll never lose its value, a treasure in Jesus Christ. Oh friend, take him as your own and personal Savior. Harvest is passing. You have this Sunday service of harvest, and then next week it'll be back to the normal running of the week. Harvest is passing. On this harvest morning, I remind you that Christ has provided such a rich bounty for you through his blood. I wonder, will you make preparation in this harvest time? Will you make preparation for the coming judgment day of God? Because the night cometh where no man can work. We read about those who made mistakes in a time of harvest. We read about a farmer there. He brings the harvest and he sees lots of the fruit and vegetables that he had gleaned unto himself. And he says, well, I'm going to pull down my barns. I'll build greater. What's he saying to himself? He's saying, I'm going to have many more successful years. I'm going to have lots more time to live on this earth and to bring in harvests like this. He promised himself more time. I don't have to get ready to meet God now. I'll do it at another time. You know what the Lord said of him? Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. What a foolish thing to do, to put off to tomorrow your salvation. You know, we also find that in here in Proverbs chapter 6. We read about the sluggard in verse 9, and he just wants to sleep. Look at him. When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Solomon asks. Oh, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I remember getting up for work. Used to work in a butcher shop. Had to get up at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. And that alarm would have went off and you hit snooze. Not yet. 5 more minutes. And then it went off again. 5 more minutes. And you just wanted a little more sleep, a little more sleep. And that's just like you tonight. You hear gospel preaching. You know you need to be saved. And it's as if you're just hitting that snooze button. Not yet. Not yet. It would happen many a morning. I was late for work. Friend, you can be late for Christ's grace tonight. You keep putting off to tomorrow what you need to do this morning. My friend, you may cross over that deadline of grace. Oh, come and call upon the Lord in faith. 5 seconds after you die is going to be too late. There'll be no more second chances then. There'll be no more opportunities then. You'll be lost forevermore. Don't procrastinate when it comes to your salvation. Do you know what procrastination is, by the way? Procrastination is to put off to tomorrow something that you could do today. But do you know what procrastination says to God? It says to God, God, you owe me another opportunity to do what I can do right now. God, you owe me another season. You owe me another window to do this task that's set before me today. That's what procrastination says to God. You might not think it, but that's what it is. Friend, I say this with all the grace in my heart. God owes you nothing. He owes you nothing. But this harvest morning, he has provided an opportunity to you to come, to make preparation, to throw yourself upon the mercy of Christ, turn away from sin, and be wonderfully and marvelously saved. Oh, my friend, come this morning. Repent of sin and believe the gospel. We've seen the prudence of the ant. We've seen the preparation of the ant. And then lastly, I want you to see the peace of the ant. The peace of the ant. Because as we've seen, the ant, he's diligent. He gets his work done. He makes a preparation in the face of imminent danger and distress. And what's the result? Well, if we look at the realm of nature, What we find is the ant in the harvest time, it's very busy, makes preparation, and then all winter it goes into hibernation. What's hibernation? It's complete and total rest. It's a period of prolonged peace. It's not worried or distressed about the winter. It's no longer, winter's no longer in its thoughts. It's a total ease. It's a total peace. It's not fearing for its enemies. It's not worried. The ant is at peace. When it wakens, it's extremely hungry, of course, after many months of not eating. But there's the storehouse. There's the stockpile that it had taken in the harvest season. And the ant takes of that, so there's no stress, no panicking, no anxiety. The ant, because he was prepared and diligent and made the right preparation in the day of trouble, enjoys now a period of peace and rest like no other. You know, friend, just like that ant, if you make preparation today by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, by asking him to save you and to wash your heart from sin, you too, like him, can know peace like this world has never known. A peace, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you bring the brokenness, the messiness, the awfulness and blackness of your sin and your guilt and your shame, and you bring it and you leave it at the feet of Calvary's tree, and you cry, Lord, forgive me, wash me, save me, my friend, you will know peace that passeth understanding. Peace like none other. A peace mentally, yes. A peace rationally, yes. A peace emotionally, yes. But a peace spiritually. No longer will your soul be at enmity against God. You will be adopted by the Heavenly Father. You'll be brought into his family and his household. No longer will you be looking for satisfaction in the broken wells and the broken cisterns of sin that hold no water. But you'll say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You'll find everything you'd ever want or need in the Lord Jesus Christ and the superabundant grace that he has for you. I can tell you from experience tonight and from the authority of the Word of God that none but Christ can satisfy. None but Christ can bring true, lasting satisfaction. Psalm 16:11 tells us that in his presence is the fullness of joy. Now maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for answers. There's things you don't understand. You're going through life and you're seeing all the trouble and strife around you and you can't make sense of it. My friend, you'll find the answer in Christ. Maybe you're going through this world and you're looking for a friend. You're looking for someone who'll never leave you or forsake you. Oh, that friend is Christ. That hope to life, that meaning to life that you're looking for. Again, my friend, it's found in Christ. Everything you would ever want in this world, in life, in death, and in eternity, is found in the nail-pierced hands of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Oh, this harvest time, make preparation to meet with God. Prepare as the ant does for the great eternity. Oh, my friend, flee to Jesus Christ. You might say to me this morning, well, what must I do to be saved? You must firstly call yourself what you are, a sinner before God. That's all you are, and that's all we ever will be. We're just worms in his sight. We have to recognize that all of our good works are just filthy rags, that we can't work or earn our way to heaven. We're vile in God's sight. Friend, come to that realization. Not only call yourself what you are, but then confess. Confess your sin. Bible tells us, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friend, don't hide your sin from God this morning. Don't try and bury your sin under the carpet and under the rug and never bring it up again. Bring it to Jesus Christ. There's cleansing for it through his blood. Not only must you call sin what it is and confess it, cast it away. Repentance, that's what the Bible calls it. Do away with sin. A lot of people, they say, well, I want to be saved and have the peace of that, but I don't want to give anything up. I want to keep living the way I'm living. My friend, that's incongruous. You can't have Christ in this hand and sin in the other. Leave sin behind. Do away with it. Cast sin behind your shoulder. Your sin's bringing you to hell. And then you need to call. Call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us, Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word whosoever means anybody. Anybody that calls on the Lord's name in faith, turning from sin, can and will be saved. My friend, you've heard this morning Solomon's six-legged sermon. It's the message Solomon wanted to leave for his son. Look at the end. Look at how it looks to the coming day. Look at how it makes preparation. Look at how it enjoys peace after it's prepared. Friend, that's the message I brought to you this morning. There's a coming day of judgment. There needs to be preparation made. Not a preparation you can do. Praise God, Christ prepared it all when he gave his life on Calvary. But you can know peace in knowing him. But I wonder, what now? The six-legged sermon is over. My preaching is done. What now? I wonder, dear friend, outside of Christ, are you going to leave this morning? Go out there to the car park, jump in your car, the same way you came in, uncaring, unconvinced, unprepared for the coming day. Or I wonder this morning, maybe you've put it off for many, many years. You've been like that slug, saying, no, just a little longer, a little more sleep. Friend, I wonder this morning, will you come and ask the Lord of harvest to save you and to wash you whiter than the snow? Cry, Lord, save me. I'd be glad to speak to you this morning. I'm not in any big rush away. I know your own pastor here, the Reverend Smiley, would speak to you as well. Any of the elders or committee, friend, don't leave this place without coming this harvest time and making preparation to meet your God. Go to the ant, consider her ways, and be made wise unto salvation, and know peace forevermore in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless each and every one of you. I'll hand back to your minister here, Mr. Smiley.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Moffat for that faithful ministry from God's word to our hearts this morning. We're singing one verse of the closing hymn, Come Ye Thankful People, Come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. Number 437, just keeping our seats as we sing this one verse of this hymn. Said, if you're concerned or troubled about your soul, we'll be out there somewhere outside and we'd be happy to speak with you and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved, how you can know this peace, this preparation, this prudence that is mentioned here in Scripture concerning the ant. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. This morning we pray that thou wilt bless thy servant who brought it to us, thy servant who ministered in song as well. And we pray, Father, that you'll speak to hearts, and we pray that there'll be those today who will come to Christ and be saved, even as a result of this service. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Lord's service. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together this morning in his name. We especially welcome our preacher, Reverend Joshua Moffat, from our Bangor congregation, also our soloist, our brother David Warwick.